Welcome to the November 28th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Dara Oland, who was our settled minister from 2013 to 2016, and Worship Associate Victoria Taylor. Today is the first day of Hanukkah. Both Rev Dara and Victoria are Jewish Unitarians.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Victoria Taylor, your worship associate today. Pam Phillips is our settled minister. I am leading worship today with the Reverend Dara Oland, many of you who already know, well, something like that. For those of you who don't know Rev Dara, she was our settled minister from 2013 to 2016. And we are really thrilled to have this opportunity to worship with her again. And she will greet you all in just a minute. This morning, we also have a guest pianist. I'd like to introduce you to Mary Louise Hallauer, who has played with us many times before. She is a very accomplished musician and teacher, and we are really lucky, fortunate to have her with us this morning. I'd also like to thank Lucas Mackey, our AV ninja, who is running the AV room with Wayne New. And I'd also like to acknowledge Arthur Snoke, who records our services. Thank you, Arthur. We are very glad you found us this holiday weekend, those of you who have wandered in person and those of you who have logged on Zoom. This is a busy day. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's the first Sunday of Advent, the first night of Hanukkah, and it also happens to be my youngest son's birthday. I want you all to know that you are welcome here. No matter your age, your size, the color of your hair, your skin, you are welcome here. No matter whom you love, or how you speak, or whatever your abilities are, you are welcome here. If you come with an open mind, a loving heart, and willing hands, you are welcome here. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat, or there are paper cards in the back of the sanctuary. You can fill that out and we can keep in touch with you and make you a name tag. My sister has been joining from Morgantown, West Virginia, and last week I found her name tag in the back of the sanctuary, and I took it and sent it to her. If you have a joy or a sorrow you would wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat if you're at home. For those of you in the sanctuary, there are cards available near the entrance. We'll collect those during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. There have been some announcements scrolling. We also have them on our website and on the weekly announcements email. You can look at the calendar for times and Zoom links and other contact information. We have a fun opportunity after the service and throughout the week to sign the solar panels, which we are installing as part of our Green Sanctuary initiatives. The panels will be available after the service in Elarth or throughout the week behind the building under the awning. There are even markers there. So when you come by to attend the men's or women's breakfast or your yoga class or just dropping by to bring some food to the food pantry, please sign the panel. Know that these activities are all run by volunteers, and we are grateful for their contribution throughout the week as they embody our mission statement. Now, as we prepare for worship today, there are a few things you need to remember. If you're joining us online, there is a link to the order of service in the chat. Stay muted until the breakout rooms after the service. You can turn on or off your video with the camera icon, and we also have closed captioning available, and you can control that at home. If you're in the sanctuary, the only thing I ask is keep your mask on and your phone off. I would now like to introduce, or perhaps reintroduce you, to Rev Dara Oland. She is currently serving as the minister at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Petaluma in California. She is married to Peter Ollant, who she met at Star King Seminary, and she is the mother to Micah and Ocean. Rev Dara.
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. What a deep and special joy to be with you all in this way, to be in the sanctuary again with all of you. It is such a joy to be with you today. My heart is full with the opportunity to see so many of you and to be a guest with you. You're a community that I deeply love. And I want you to know that while Peter and Micah and now Ocean and I are living in California, we frequently talk about Blacksburg. And I am sending so much deep care and love and support to you and your families. And speaking of families, as you might know, our family expanded a little bit just in the midst of the pandemic. We welcomed our second child into the world. We could think of no better name for her than the place that has renewed our spirits during this really deeply troubling and complicated time of the pandemic. We decided to name her Ocean. And we're all doing really well. We speak of you by name, many of you in the house. Sometimes I wonder how it's going there. I wonder what's transforming and what's transpiring. And there's a picture of the New River Valley in our home. I am celebrating with you the tremendous ministry that you now share with my marvelous colleague, Reverend Pam. I know you've been sharing that journey for many years, and I am so deeply glad and humbled and joyful to be with you today. Now, let us go ahead and greet one another, as I believe is the practice.
This morning, of course, we're greeting one another across space, California, New River Valley, hopefully Morgantown. If you're joining us via Zoom, we are grateful you are here. You may greet your neighbors by writing in the chat where you are worshiping from and any other salutations you have this morning. And then we will share the gallery with the sanctuary. Turn on your videos, please.
Yay.
Oh, look at that. Can you see that, Dara? Isn't that cool?
Yes, this is amazing. Y'all have done an amazing job with this hybrid worship. Wow.
Now I'm going to show the people at home who's here. So we've got Mary Louise and Jane.
Oh, wow. Hi, everyone. Look at this. Wow. All spaced out in the beautiful sanctuary. Yes.
Fun. All right, Lucas, back in the sound room. Stick your head out. Say hello.
Wow.
Mary Louise.
Good morning.
I'm going to put that down. All right, let's move more into a worshipful space. I'm going to invite our president, Bob Stimson, up to light our chalice. If you have a chalice at home, please light that or a candle. Our words this morning are A Spark of Hope by Melanie Davis. I have chosen these because tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, the Jewish festival of lights and dedication. Please join me in saying, if there were ever a time for a candle in the darkness, this would be it. Using a spark of hope, kindle the flame of love, ignite the light of peace, and feed the flame of justice. Thank you, Bob. Join me now in saying our congregational covenant, which gives shape to our beloved community. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Thank you. It's really exciting to be a part of people who believe that and live that. Thank you. Today's opening words are from a children's song. You might have remembered that our November theme was holding history. And when we were having our worship meeting and we were inquiring into those words, holding history, I kept hearing this children's song, Mi Yimael, which speaks of remembering history and letting it inspire our actions today. The song is often sung at Hanukkah parties and then became the inspiration of this service. Hanukkah, like most Jewish holy days and festivals, is a remembrance or reenactment of a historical event. In this case, that event is the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem, which is the backdrop for all these pictures, if you weren't aware. After it was recaptured, the picture isn't after it was recaptured, Hanukkah is after it was recaptured, after 3 years of Greek domination in 165 BCE. So the song and the words that were going through my head at that meeting were, who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? In every age, a hero or sage has come to our aid. Those are the English words. And then the Hanukkah portion goes on to say, hark, in days of yore in Israel's ancient land, brave Maccabees led the faithful band. But now all Israel must as one arise to redeem itself through deed and sacrifice. But the part, the who can retell the things that befell us? So our history is important to our todaying. Rev Dara is going to share some words for all ages.
Again, it's such a deep joy to be with you all in this way. It's truly miraculous that we can do it together this way with the hybrid worship. So thank you again for having me with you. I love seeing the snowfall. Looks like there's snow there. Is that right? Some snow? No?
No.
No.
Just frost.
Just frost. Frost. And coming through this with the sunlight. It's just the lights just peeking out here where I am in California a little bit earlier than you all. So hi everyone, I wanted to share a little bit more. Here's a book called Hanukkah, and it's by Ronnie Schroeder. I'm actually just gonna show a few pictures so we can get a feel for Hanukkah, and then I'm gonna share just a little bit about some of the story, that the ancient story about Hanukkah. So first of all, here's a picture of a family celebrating Hanukkah. And in their hands, you probably see that candelabra called a Hanukkiah or a menorah. And I've also got one right here. This is my family's menorah. It's kind of based on a tree of life with some birds. So you can see that. During Hanukkah, people gather for celebrations with their family and friends. And I'm just gonna show you a few pictures here. This is a picture of night falling because Hanukkah starts at sundown. And here's a family beginning to light the lights on their menorah. I'm gonna pick out one more picture to show you all, and then I'm gonna tell you a little bit more about Hanukkah. Oh, here we go. This picture of a family enjoying some Hanukkah traditions, including potato latkes. Maybe some of you have had potato latkes with applesauce or sour cream. So we want to invoke the light and the sensory elements, the food and the richness of the Hanukkah experience this morning. So here's an abbreviated version of the Hanukkah story from this book. Long ago, it said, in the land of Israel, a very special place for the Jewish people was the temple, the synagogue in Jerusalem. The temple contained many beautiful, exquisitely beautiful objects, including a tall candelabra called a menorah. Unlike the menorahs of today, this one had seven rather than nine branches. Instead of being lit by candles or light bulbs, this menorah, it burned oil. Every evening, oil would be poured into the cups that sat on top of the menorah. The temple would be filled with a shimmering light. At the time of this Hanukkah story, there was a mean king named Antiochus who ruled over the land of Israel. "I don't like these Jewish people," declared Antiochus, which is not a very kind thing to say. He said, "They're so very different from me. I don't celebrate Shabbat like they do. I don't read from the Torah. So why should they?" And Antiochus made many new and cruel rules. "No more celebrating Shabbat. No more going to the temple and no more Torah," shouted Antiochus. And he told his guards to go into that temple and make a mess. And so they did. They brought mud and stones and garbage into that temple. They broke furniture and knocked things down. They smashed the jars of oil that were used to light that beautiful menorah. Antiochus and his soldiers made the Jewish people feel sad and angry. And there was a Jewish man named Judah Maccabee who said, "We must stop Antiochus. We must think of ways to make him leave the land of Israel and leave us alone." At first, Judah's followers, called the Maccabees, were afraid. "Judah," they said, "Antiochus has so many soldiers, and the soldiers carry such big weapons. They use huge elephants to fight their battles. How can we, who don't have any weapons at all, fight against him?" And Judah said, "If we think very hard, friends, and we plan very carefully, I know that we'll be able to defeat him." And it took a long time, but at last the Maccabees chased Antiochus and his men out of Israel. And as soon as Antiochus and his soldiers were gone, the Jewish people ran back into Jerusalem to start cleaning their temple. What a mess! The beautiful menorah was gone. The floor was covered with trash and broken furniture and pieces from the shattered jars of oil. But the Maccabees built a new menorah. At first, they were worried they wouldn't be able to light their new menorah. But they searched and searched every nook and cranny until at last they found, as the story goes, one jar of oil. And they began to light the menorah. And to their surprise, they knew it would take 8 more days to make new oil. They lit the menorah anyway. And to their surprise, this little tiny jar of oil burned for a surprising 8 whole days. And the Jewish people could not believe their good fortune. First, their small ragtag army had chased away Antiochus's large army. And now this tiny jar of oil had lasted a whole 8 days, filling their temple once again with a shimmering light. And they thanked their community and they thanked their sense of hopefulness. They found that miracles were abounding. And so every year during Hanukkah, Jewish people light candles in their menorahs for the 8 days to remember the miracles that happened so long ago. And that's from this book of Hanukkah. And that's a little bit about why we light the menorah.
Thank you, Dara. Another way we celebrate our community is by collecting an offering and by sharing half of that offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the UU Service Committee. This organization that grew out of efforts to resettle Jewish people living in Europe in the 30s and 40s continues to work internationally with those in greatest need and fighting oppression. You may give online using the link in the chat or through our Vanco service. If you've never used these, your order of service and the announcements have more information. If you're attending church in person and would like to give cash or a check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary. Thank you for your generosity. Before I read the candle offerings from those at home, I'd like to accept and acknowledge your generosity of the offering. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. And Dara would like to add a blessing.
Dear ones, let us come into a moment of deepening appreciation and reflection. I invite us to now make a connection with our own breath, our own bodies, our own beings. And I offer us these words. Holy, magnificent source of love and transformation, healing and repair, hope and life itself, known by so many names. Gentle our hearts this day, allowing us to make an authentic connection with the rhythm of our own heartbeat. Help us to remember how deeply connected we are with all of the beings who travel in this place and time, woven together on this delicate and amazing planet. Let us give thanks for all of the joys that have been named and express our sincere care and sense of solidarity with those who are experiencing a sense of suffering, unsurety, who are feeling grief and longing at this time. Let us remember that we travel not alone. Let us become ever more present to the blessings that are in our lives. Let us give thanks for all of the sweet teachers and guides that have been present among us in many ways and shapes and forms. Let us go forth with a delicate sense of understanding and appreciation for the rich complexity and the beauty among us. Let us become part of the healing that is called for in these times. Blessed be, and amen. Here are some words to help us frame a practice we're going to do this morning. We're going to share a few reflections on Hanukkah itself. And before we do that, I'd like to speak a little bit, reminding us about what Hanukkah truly is. We touched into it just a little bit already with the children's story. Again, friends, today we're celebrating and we're acknowledging Hanukkah, the festival of lights in Jewish tradition, community, family, and cultural practice. This is that time of retelling the story that takes place in the second century BCE when the Jewish temple was destroyed by Antiochus. And as those stories tell, when the people came back to their devastated temple, they see this wreckage, they see this brokenness. Indeed, it was certainly a time of crisis, but slowly they take the time to survey the damage and they begin step by step to rebuild together as a community. And as the stories go, that large menorah, which once shined so brightly, it's cracked and there's no oil, but miracle of miracles, they find some oil and there's enough. There's just enough. It lasts longer than anyone thought. The word Hanukkah in Hebrew can be translated to mean dedication, or some rabbis teach us education. The story is rich and deep with meaning about perseverance during hard times, about surveying with a realistic eye what is broken and choosing to build the world anew together, overcoming hardship and continuing forward in hope. My own Jewish UU family is celebrating Hanukkah each night, and this evening, once again, we'll sit in that glow of the first candles, and we'll light the shamash, which is the helper candle, and it'll help light the very first light. And as that light grows over the 8 evenings on the Hanukkah, we'll watch the simple beauty of light rekindled in the night. And we'll remember the power of resilience and possibility and hope. To me, this has always been a story about resilience, about what it means to come together, rebuild together, even when the way is not clear or easy. And over these 8 nights of Hanukkah, as the candles are lit and the stories are told and the special foods eaten and the applesauce and the sour cream and small gifts are exchanged, there's a sense of coming back together again. The word Hanukkah means dedication. And so today I ask you, what is it that you might be rededicating yourself to this winter season? In a few moments, Victoria and I will share with you 8 lines of reflection upon some of the meanings of Hanukkah. And we'd invite you to imagine with us as each line of reflection is shared and as the bell rings that a candle has been lit, burning bright on the menorah, offering its warmth and its memory for all of us.
It's Hanukkah, and I remember that each day is a miracle, and my life ought not be taken for granted.
I remember resilience, that together in this world, so much is possible. To keep going and make a way seemingly out of no way, and to be surprised about what is possible.
I remember the actions of my ancestors give shape and meaning to my life today.
I remember miracles, enough oil, enough light, a quiet knowing word, a smile, a laugh, a crisp evening when the moon is bright and beautiful, the breath of our loved ones, that miracles abound. Let us notice this. I remember dedication. That this festival brings forth a time of memory. And in a time of forgetting, let us remember that to which we would dedicate and rededicate our lives.
I remember that it is worthwhile to stand up for what I believe is right, and that no matter how broken it all seems, I have the opportunity to rededicate myself to that which is right and just.
I remember hope. Kindle a light, watch it join the light of others. It is perhaps in the bleakest moments that we can remember the power of shared inspiration illuminates the path forward. It has always been so.
And I remember that the light always stands for community, possibility, and hope.
Dear ones, you know, it's so interesting. These times have been so illuminating in different ways. I no doubt this has been a difficult journey, I imagine, for everyone through the pandemic in all sorts of different ways. I'm amazed that we're able to visit together in this way. What a blessing to be able to be with you again in the sanctuary. And I'm so filled, I'm very emotional actually to be able to be with you all. And again, I just send my tremendous care and support to you all in the journey of your lives. A sweet thing indeed to be invited to speak on the topic of Hanukkah this morning. As you know, I'm a Jewish Unitarian Universalist, and I know we've got some Jewish identifying folks in the congregation, as well as Victoria. I think the messages and meanings and teachings of Hanukkah are deep, actually, and can speak to us all in different ways. And I want to acknowledge the many ways we might come into this conversation this morning, some of us with deep knowledge of Hanukkah, others with a rather cursory familiarity with Hanukkah. So welcome in all of the ways of being and knowing, right? Growing up Jewish and Unitarian Universalist in my household, we weren't very religiously observant when I was young. But when Hanukkah rolled around, it was time to dive into the cupboards and find that menorah and a well-worn copy of the Hanukkah story about Judah and the Maccabees. I remember being little, and our menorah looked like the wall of the ancient city of Jerusalem, which was a perfect backdrop for the hearing of the ancient stories. As we heard earlier, the kids singing to us from PS 22 in New York, who can retell the things that befell us? Who can count them? As a very small child, I always pictured bees for Maccabees. They were fierce and purposeful. And to me, they were tinged with a golden sort of light cast in the light of that menorah. There were simple presents and chocolate, but what I remember most was the light. It was a simple sort of magic, if you will. Watching that light increased slowly over several days, savoring that miracle of the match touching wick and the dancing warmth of the flame. I felt that winter darkness surrounding us almost like a womb of sorts as we would bend over that light and my mother would sing these ancient words. It's magic. Today in my house, we do a special first and last night of Hanukkah to mark the beginning and ending. And I'll tell you, we've gotten better, Pete and I, over the years at remembering to light one candle each night of the eight nights. Having a child helps me remember. Rededication. The miracle, friends, of finding enoughness, even in times of despair and scarcity. The miracle of light itself and a pause, as in a pause one day before each candle is lit on the menorah. It's baked into the ritual, the pause before the candlelight. Hanukkah offers a lot, I think. For example, imagine entering the story itself. Imagine you'd been fighting for so many years to overthrow an oppressive ruler, and your most holy place was taken over. Its walls were burned, your sacred art objects were crushed, windows were smashed. And imagine entering tenderly into that space, searching for that main sacred object that could literally and figuratively illuminate that defiled space, and slowly, bit by bit, in back-breaking work, sweating as you go, rebuilding, searching for that oil to light the lamp and finding none. And then someone saying, I have an idea, let's look here. And finding just a little bit of oil. What could this be? And maybe your trembling hands, half hopeful, half skeptical, half resigned, half so many things, so many halves, and just lighting the lamp. And then miracle of miracles, having enough so that it burns. And it keeps on burning more than you thought possible, allowing you to consecrate the space with your community to begin that practical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual work of rebuilding. In 2021, today's context, we are a country, we are a people in the midst of rebuilding. What and how will we rebuild? What will we place at the collective center of our lives? Can we learn new ways? Ways that center what's most truly valuable, what's most truly sacred? Shared humanity, wellness, sustainability, justice, liberation, love. Entering into the stories of Hanukkah invites us to reflect on perseverance. What is miraculous and the presence of hope in hard times? Devastation is not always devastation. Look again by the light of the candles. Be reminded of the unexpected ways that hope can shine through, especially when we're working together. These friends are some of the underpinnings that I find in Hanukkah. It's like this. What if the end is not the end? Come look at the light. Let's get quiet. Let's say a prayer. What if? What if? Let's rededicate ourselves to a future worthy of our children. You know, I think Hanukkah actually has a great deal more to offer than just being the lesser cousin in the panoply of winter holidays. It's not just the Jewish Christmas. It's true that Hanukkah isn't a major religious holiday tradition in Jewish tradition, but it has a great deal of cultural significance and plenty of deep meaning to be explored. For me, when I kindle those lights on the Hanukkah, I'm reminded of all the people who are kindling lights the world over and all who would seek to rise up for self-determination and to challenge oppression. Here's a poem called Rededication by Sarah Stock Mayo. We are still here. Our light is not dimmed. We rise again and again and again. We make it through fires burned, but healing our scars. We keep going when the roads are uphill, breathing heavily, but still breathing. We wake each morning, we rest each night. We teach our children ancient blessings, hoping their meanings will take root, building fortification from within and extending like the branches of a tree, taking strength from the earth, growing eastward, westward, and up to the sky. Heads high, spine straight, we take courage from the ancestors, creating new worlds over and over through their wandering, always searching for safety, always searching, calling new place home until we are once again forced to wander. The journey has been long, from the Middle East to Spain to North Africa to Eastern Europe to Australia, to Cuba and the Dominican Republic, to the shores of New York and California. In small towns where we settle for work or to be close to family, we pitch our tents. We thrive in shuttles and ghettos meant to unravel us as people. We live in tenements and apartments and kibbutzim and grand homes on boulevards in Berlin and Boston. Sometimes we try to run from who we are, wanting so desperately to fit in, wanting to belong, to be left alone, to live without fear, to give our children a better life, to enter spaces formerly forbidden to us, to be like everyone else. Sometimes we embrace the foods we eat, the holidays we celebrate, the rituals we sanctify, the wedding couples held high in chairs, the new lives we bring into this world. Sometimes we can just be simply who we are. And then darkness descends once again like it did in Pittsburgh and Poway and the cemeteries and the other sacred spaces desecrated. We spend our lives dedicating ourselves to something, whether holy or profane or both or somewhere in between. But rededicating is a true act of resistance. We can claim something over and over again as a form of sacred return. We can pitch another tent, build another grand house of worship after it has been debased. Rededication runs through our veins. It's in our DNA, shaped by both our trauma and our survival. We know who we are, our stories, our collective echoes, and our dreams are filled with floating Chagall figures rising from the ashes and swirling in a beautiful burst of color towards eternity. I so appreciate how that poet says rededication is an act of resistance. I would also hazard to say it's an act of construction, of reforming. I wonder what you might be reforming or trying to rededicate your life to in this season. Short little piece of history for us this morning. Historically, in the second century, the Maccabee family were guerrilla fighters, and they rose up against the Greek-Syrian rulers. And Antiochus at the time ruled as a deified king. He didn't take kindly to the Jewish people having a God consciousness of their own and was all too ready to see Jewish rituals and religious practices cease. And when Antiochus actually, his people retook the temple, they actually went so far as to rededicate the whole temple to Zeus. And this didn't go over so well with many of the Jewish people, especially the Maccabees. So 3 years after that, when the people finally retook the temple, it was particularly meaningful for them to rededicate that temple again to their sense of God. And through that rededication, they renewed themselves spiritually and reformed their collective sense of purpose and identity. There's so many complexities to the actual historical context of the Maccabean revolt, as it was called. Of note, it was actually a civil war. So internal fighting among the Jewish leaders and a war against an external imperial force. And it was messy and complicated. And so are our times today. Messy and complicated and really, really complicated and complex. We have the pandemic, the horror of justice too long delayed, and the senseless killing of Black men in particular and people of color due to the entrenched racism in our social and political systems. We know that three white men just recently were convicted of murder for the killing of 25-year-old Black man Ahmaud Arbery, who was running in his neighborhood when he was attacked last year. "He didn't do anything but dream and run," said Marcus Arbery Sr. of his son, who was killed. And not even just a week ago, or maybe just about a week ago, there was the verdict, of course, acquittal, rather, of all of the charges against Kylie Rittenhouse, a white 17-year-old who was accused of killing three people in Kenosha at a protest of the shooting of a Black man, Jacob Blake, by a white police officer. The extremism and the hatred that has been showing itself in our country, the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia, the vilification of immigrants, people seeking refuge, you know all this, dear friends, climate change, there is so much before us. We are living in a time of upendedness, all subject to the earthquakes of change. Where will it all land? What newness might be born? What will be diminished? What will endure? What should we struggle for? How shall we celebrate? What should we challenge? And enter these ancient stories of memory, of considering what we'll cry out for, what we'll rededicate our lives towards. I love that Hanukkah is about the righteous fight for life against tyranny and about rebuilding, about all of it. And I also love that it's about rest. The rebuilding comes after the resting before the candles. In that dramatic pause, we struggle, we wait, we rest. We work and pray and wait and see. A few days ago, I was with my child, Micah, and he's 7 now. We were putting away blocks and Legos for our little baby so that the baby doesn't choke on one of the big kid toys. And we had just been talking about the complexity of Thanksgiving. And I said to him, "You know, Micah, Hanukkah comes early this year. It's time to get out the menorah." And he says to me, "It's the one about running into the sea and escaping slavery." No, I said, that's a different one. That's about Passover. And he says, "Oh, that's when we eat the matzah, right, Mom?" "Yes," I said. "The people were running because they didn't have time for the bread to rise." "Right," he said. "And what's Easter?" he asked. Oh, boy. You'd think I'd have this down pat, being a UU minister and all. I realized that in that moment, we just might be discussing all of the holidays. So I decided to stop cleaning up. At first, I told him we're going to clean up, then we're going to rest. But in the midst of the mess, we sat down together. "We're going to have to talk about what's coming up right now at this moment. I can see why you're thinking about Easter, because it's right around when we celebrate Passover," I said. "That one's about Jesus and how his followers thought he had died, and they were sad, and they went to a cave, and they thought he was buried there, but his body wasn't there. They thought he had risen up high, being like a god. We tend to talk about the life he led as a teacher, as a historical person, He was Jewish, Mom? My child asked. Yes, I said. Like us, he said. That's right, I said. He was a teacher of peace and justice. Yet he was killed for his ideas. That's terrible, Mom, he says. You're right, that's true. Why did he die, Mom? Oh, goodness, I thought. Why indeed? But I was saved in that moment because he was now focused on Hanukkah. That's the one where they're fighting and they have enough oil for the candles to last longer than they thought was going to be possible. That's the one, I said. The light grows each night, reminding us of what is possible to keep going and to try against the odds for a better world, and that rebuilding is always possible. That's so good, Mom, he said. I think so too, I said. Dear ones, I always think about the courage that it takes to try, to pause before the candles and not just count our blessings, but to recognize the miracle that we each are just by being here, part of an exquisite project. That room that I was in with my son is still messy, but I'm thankful that the holiday gave me an opportunity to stop and talk about how messy it all is. There is so much mess in our midst. Perhaps it is just right to start lighting the candles and rededicate ourselves. Not to a world beyond us. We don't need to put on goggles and enter a virtual reality world, but we could rededicate ourselves to the messy one right here. The messy, broken, beautiful, verdant planet that's so rich with soil, teeming with organisms that know how to endure. The one where we're with cousins that don't always agree with us, neighbors we might not like, people who we love so much that it hurts. This world that's filled with the too close drama of birth and death and heartbreak and first kisses and last embraces, with sunrise and birdsong and bewilderment and dancing. My prayer, dear friends, is that we might all rededicate ourselves to this one exquisite world and find it miraculous. Amen, and blessed be.
Amen. Thank you, Dara.
I'll offer us this benediction, dear ones. Again, it's such a gift, a miraculous gift to be in your presence today. My prayer is that we know a world in which nothing is wasted, in which out of the shreds and brokenness, we make exquisite garments of hope and healing. That in the cracked temple, we find new pathways and rekindle the light. Let us remember we are all carriers of this light. You, me, all of us. May the golden light of the candles renew us, each one, as we rededicate ourselves to the next iteration of the bright and beautiful world.
Thank you, Dara. I will extinguish this chalice, but not the hope that the light embodies. And I will conclude with these words from Isaiah. Go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Know you are loved until we meet again.